Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26.
So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to the Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envy each other.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Galatians chapter 5. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we pray that you would quieten our hearts and minds. We pray that you would convict us of the things that you have to convict us of this morning. But Lord, we pray that you might inspire us. Inspire us to train and live as your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For the past 8 years or so, Tamara, our girls and I, we've gone up to the Blue Mountains for holidays. It's much, much cooler up there in January than it is down here. And we find it very encouraging starting the year with CMS Summer School. But there's also a few other reasons why we like to go up to the Blue Mountains. And one of them is because we quite like going bushwalking. In Blackheath, not too far away from where we stay, there are lots and lots of different hiking trails that go up and down and all over the mountains. Some take you to waterfalls, others take you to little hidden away streams, and others take you around and around the mountain with so many steps that you couldn't dare even count them. Now, when I said that our family likes going for bushwalks, that's not entirely true, because Tamara has quite a different take on what it means to go bushwalking to the rest of us. For some reason, the idea of walking up slippery, wet trails that are uneven and often quite steep doesn't appeal that much to her. And she doesn't much like the way that we walk either. We'll walk and explore until we're absolutely exhausted and then kind of limp our way back to the car. Now, her idea of going for a bushwalk is to go on a trail that's described as pram-friendly. It's made up of smooth, you know, that hot mix tar, that really smooth tar, and it just gently weaves it away around a slight little slope until it makes your way all the way back to where you started. And what she likes to do is take a camera with her, and about every 5 to 10 steps, she'll take a photo of a flower or something else that she finds interesting. And that's fine if that's what you like to do. But the rest of us have quite a different idea of what it's like to go bushwalking. We walk to explore trails and to go places that we've never been before. And we want to get some exercise while we do it. And so what usually happens when we go bushwalking is that we'll either start out with Tamara and leave her somewhere near the beginning of where we started, or we'll take the hard trails and Tamara will take the pram-friendly trail. As much as we'd love to go for a bushwalk together, when it comes to bushwalking, we always seem to be pulling in different directions. And the end result is that we have two very different experiences of what a bushwalk is like. The girls and I will see the mountains from all sorts of different perspectives to what Tamara's ever seen them. While we make our way to all sorts of different trails that are off the beaten track. While Tamara, on the other hand, slows right down and will often see things that we've skipped over because she's taking her time. When it comes to bushwalking, we always seem to be going at a different pace and in a different direction. And so each time we go, we have to make a choice. Will we go at Tamara's pace, along the flat, smooth road, pottering along? Or will we go exploring? Because you can't do both. You have to pick one or the other. They're going in two different directions. And in a similar way, those who trust in Jesus have a choice to make every single day. Will we walk with the Spirit, going where the Spirit leads us, listening to his voice and discerning his will? Or will we allow ourselves to be seduced by our old sinful nature? So firstly, today's passage is teaching us that if we aren't walking with the Spirit, it will cause us to produce bad fruit because of our own selfish desires. If your hope in this life and the next is in Jesus, then the scriptures declared that you have been justified, which is a big word that means God has declared you not guilty. Not because you have somehow paid for the price of your sin, but because Jesus has done that on your behalf. If you have faith in Jesus, you've been set free from the requirements of the law. But if we misuse that freedom, the freedom we've received from Christ, and go about doing whatever we want and whatever we think is good, it won't bring us the happiness that we might be tempted to think it will. Verse 1 in the NIV says, "So I say to you, live by the Spirit." Now, the word translated there, live, in the Greek is actually walk. And so the ESV translates it a little bit closer to the Greek when it says, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit." Have you ever tried to walk with somebody who's walking really fast, much faster than you would walk? You have to constantly be making that decision that you're going to walk faster than you naturally want to. Or alternatively, have you ever had to try to walk with somebody who's walking really, really slowly? Maybe a small child or someone who's quite senior. You have to constantly make that choice to keep in time with them, to keep in step. And in a similar way, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we can't rely on our character or our wisdom or our experience to keep us in step. We have to make an active choice every single day to keep in step with the Spirit. Because if we get out of the step with the Spirit, our default setting is to return to our old sinful nature. As Paul says in verse 17, our sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. We can't follow our old sinful nature and keep in step with the Spirit. And we can't follow the Spirit and still be guided by our old sinful nature. The two are opposed to each other. They're headed in two different directions. Verses 19 and 20, they spell out what comes from being out of step with the Spirit. It says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Why are they obvious? Because they are so different to the fruit of the Spirit. They are sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, which includes any kind of sexual gratification outside of marriage, including lusting after someone or images of someone in our hearts. Idolatry and witchcraft, which includes loving anything or anyone more than God, or worshipping or trusting in anything or anyone other than God. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, which are all things that develop in our hearts when we lose sight of the forgiveness that we have received through Jesus. And when we try to achieve our dreams in our own strength instead of relying on the Spirit. And then finally, drunkenness and orgies. Now, obviously, having too much alcohol impairs our ability to walk in step with the Spirit. It leaves us open to all sorts of sins that we wouldn't normally give in to. That's why orgies are alongside drunkenness, even though that really fits with sexual immorality. Our old nature is always going to try and pull us in the opposite direction to the Spirit. And so if we want to walk with the Spirit, we need to choose to keep in step with the Spirit on a daily basis. So secondly, today's passage is teaching us that if we are walking with the Spirit will produce good fruit because of the Spirit's work in our hearts. Now, Paul says in verses 22 and 23 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the love that the fruit of the Spirit that Paul speaks about isn't necessarily the way that our world speaks about love. The love that Paul speaks about isn't a love for the things of this life. It isn't a love for those who love us, but a love that comes from God, and a love that is shaped by the good news of Jesus, a sacrificial love that puts the needs of others before ourselves. The joy that Paul speaks of isn't the joy of having a big windfall or of having everything going our way. It is a deep and grounded joy that is greater than our circumstances. If we are walking by the Spirit, we'll experience this sense of joy regardless of whether we're incredibly blessed materially in this life or whether we're struggling financially. Because the joy that the Spirit brings in our lives is not based on our circumstances, but on the eternal hope we have in Jesus. The peace that the Spirit produces in our lives, the lives of those walking with Him, is the peace that comes from knowing that God is in control of all the circumstances of our lives, that no matter what we're going through, whether good or bad, God is always working all things together for the good of those who love Him. The patience that Paul speaks of is also translated long-suffering in the KJV. I really like that word long-suffering. It gives you that idea of being patient for a long period of time. And this patience refers to the work of the Spirit that enables believers to stand firm through the stresses and pressures of this life. The faithfulness that the fruit of the Spirit produces is the faithfulness to the truth of God's word, and the faithfulness and dependability that those around us will see and notice. The gentleness that the fruit of the Spirit produces is a willingness to submit to God's authority. It is a teachability. No matter how long we've been a believer, no matter how long we've been walking with the Lord. And it's also an ability to share God's word with a humbleness and respect. Lastly, the self-control that Paul speaks of is the Spirit-inspired ability to say no to our old sinful nature and yes to walking with the Spirit, which will be seen in many different ways in our lives as we keep in step with the Spirit. Now, if you go through that list, you might be tempted to go, well, I'm more patient than I am peaceful, more loving than I am gentle. But that isn't how this list works. If you have faith in Jesus, you are walking in the Spirit, then you will be growing in every single one of these ways. The trouble is, the reason that Paul is urging the believers in Galatia to walk in the Spirit is because he knows that it is possible for somebody to trust in Jesus, but also to take the forgiveness they've received from Jesus for granted, to live as though no matter what they do, they know that they're forgiven. And so Paul says in verse 24, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. If we're followers of Jesus, we have died to our old sinful nature with Christ, and we've been raised to new life with him through his death and resurrection. We have died to our old sinful nature with its passions and desires. We can't follow the Spirit and our old nature because they're headed in two different directions. So if we want to keep in step with the Spirit, we need to choose the direction and the pace of the Spirit on a daily basis. Because as soon as we stop walking with the Spirit, we will automatically default to our old sinful nature. So how can we choose to walk each day with the Spirit, to do so on a daily basis? Well, it isn't as easy as reading your Bible and praying before you head out, although that is a very important part of it. Firstly, walking by the Spirit requires us to put off our old sinful nature and to reject all forms of sin. This looks like making a daily decision to avoid situations that cause us to be tempted. For example, if you're having a problem with the lust of the eyes, then you need to make decisions, the decision not to watch movies or give yourself access to things that will lead you into that sin. If you are tempted to speed in your car, then you need to try and leave a bit earlier and set your cruise control to the speed limit so you aren't tempted in that way. If you're tempted by alcohol, drugs, or gambling, you need to avoid places and situations that make those things feel tempting. And there are any number of other examples of ways that we can avoid situations and things that tempt us to sin. Secondly, walking by the Spirit requires us to be led by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is not just the absence of sin, it is the presence of the fruit-producing Spirit in our lives. Those who are walking by the Spirit will be growing and practicing the fruit of the Spirit as the Spirit works in their lives. Some helpful questions to help us think about whether we're walking with the Spirit on a daily basis or not. Am I prioritizing time with God and with his people? Are things like coming to church important to us? Connecting in Bible studies? Keeping in regular fellowship around God's word? Am I checking my plans and desires against God's word? Am I seeking God's will before I make big decisions? Or do I make big decisions and pray, hoping that God will make it all right? Am I putting myself in situations that tempt me into sin? We're going to make the most of the freedom that Jesus purchased through his life, death, and resurrection. It's essential that we keep choosing on every single day to walk by the Spirit instead of by our old sinful nature. Deciding every day to go where the Spirit is going, to listen to his voice, and to keep seeking his plan for us. Let's pray that God might help us to do that now. Father God, we confess that we can get busy, tired, caught up in whatever we are doing, and we can so easily default to our old sinful nature. Lord, we confess that we so often have put ourselves in situations that we know will tempt us into sin. But we pray that you would help us by your Spirit. Encourage our hearts and challenge us, Lord, that we might walk daily with your Spirit, being guided so that your Spirit might produce wonderful, life-giving fruit in our lives, that those around us might see this wonderful joy that we have, that they might want it for themselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.